This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
His wife and
hey, how we doing on this Tuesday morning? Big Monagle here with you until 5 o'clock. Got you for another hour. 888-808-1019. Get up. Let's go. It's 408. Get up. I don't know why. It's the last hour of the show, so I say it. Let's go. As we get ready for the warm-up show in an hour or so, we talked a lot today. We had the Aaron Glenn press conference earlier yesterday where clearly, I mean, look, he wants to be here. He played in the uniform. He referenced the 98 conference championship game against the Broncos. He talked about Parcells. I mean, you couldn't have asked for more. It was an unbelievable slam dunk, guaranteed successful. Nah, you know that. It was a good press conference. I am one, unfortunately, and I'm not a Jet fan, and I understand why any Jet fan would be pumped. I mean, he oozes it. There's no question about it. We saw a couple other ones throughout history. We saw Adam Gase had a failed one. We saw the same day, Liam Cohen, who accepted the job in with a little bit of controversy out in Jacksonville, had a miserable one, and he doesn't look like a head coach to me at all. And we'll find out. They moved heaven and earth to me. They fired their GM. He turned down the highest contract for offensive coordinator in history, and he sounded Duval. You got to check that out. It's hilarious.
Duval.
It even sounds...
It doesn't even fully do it justice. You got to see his face when he does it.
But it's still bad. Like, you don't see his face, and it's not the same, but you still get it that it's bad.
I wish we had a shot of the people in attendance to see their reactions.
Oh, it's so bad. It's so cringe. It's so bad. So, look, you could lose press conferences, but Aaron Glenn did everything you'd want him to do, right? He talked about it. He talked about wanting the job, which I think is important. His history with the franchise, all of it. You know, I thought he gave great answers on culture building, and it's not about rah-rah speeches, and that's why I'm not that excited. I don't get hung up on press conferences. I don't. So yesterday, you could lose them. It's tough for me to win them because I watched Joe Judge kick the hell out of a press conference, and it was the worst coaching experience I've ever had. And I'm a Giants fan. So there's a lot of them. Going back to Ray Hanley, and that was as ugly as it's ever been, and his press conference was unbelievable. And how about the guy going to his second Super Bowl in the last 3 years, Nick Sirianni with the Eagles? He couldn't speak. He literally couldn't talk. If you go back and watch his press conference, he's talking in circles with hums and he's going to two Super Bowls. So I don't get hung up on press conferences, but I do like the way he spoke about culture building, because I do think that's obviously imperative for this team that has this playoff drought hanging over them, and it feels like it's impossible to build a culture. And he talks about how it's not rah-rah speeches. It's about people. And this organization in particular has the one person on top of it that makes it very difficult to create any kind of winning or successful culture, and it's a very hard ask. And if you're going to be a rookie head coach, bringing in a rookie GM, as we got our first look at Darren Mooji as well. If you're going to bring in a rookie GM and a rookie head coach and probably a rookie offensive coordinator, I think you need the stabilizing force of Aaron Rodgers. So he answered that question. He jumped out in front. Another smart kind of thing. He knew those questions were coming. I mean, you'd have to be an idiot not to know. But he did try and jump those off at the, and nip it in the bud and not, react to it. He went right out and gave you his thought on Aaron Rodgers. They're going to talk about it. It's up for debate. They're going to, decide whether or not that makes sense in the near future. So he didn't give any clues. He did talk about the kind of quarterback he envisions having on his team, which is a winning quarterback, mental and physically tough. And I think that's Aaron Rodgers. And if you're going to try and give this guy who's talking about winning right away and building winning and sustained winning, I'd love for him to get off on the right foot and actually have a winning season, as opposed to bringing in a lesser quarterback with a dead cap hit that Aaron Rodgers leaves behind. So for me, whether it's dealing with a rookie offensive coordinator, whether it's dealing with a rookie head coach and GM, and asking a lot of them to fill the quarterback position if they want to win, I'd rather just give them Aaron Rodgers. So the press conference was great. He did a great job. It means absolutely nothing. It comes down to whether or not he can do what he claims he can do and whether or not he's going to bring winning to this team. And for me, year one, it begins. And I'd love to give him an opportunity, and that includes Aaron Rodgers. We got to a lot about we just did the Pete Alonso situation, as we all saw what happened on Amazing Day. The negotiations between the two sides are at an impasse. Scott Boras is offering unfair structures. Unfair structures. And Pete Alonso doesn't recognize he doesn't have a market. So that's where we are with that. We talked about the Giants needing to trade up for a quarterback, or at least drafting 1 of 3, and the optimism that brings. As everybody's talking about Saquon Barkley and the Eagles going back to the Super Bowl, and what a disaster it is. And the Jets have the inherent optimism of hiring a new head coach and hiring a new GM, and everyone's excited in Jetsville. What the hell's going on with the Giants? Bringing back the same old lousy crowd, nothing going on. Where's the enthusiasm? Where's the belief? Where's the feeling that this could all turn around? Well, that changes if they draft a quarterback. And like I said, if they draft a quarterback, tell me how they're not with the team they have. Right? The crappy team they have. Not nearly as good a roster as the Jets. Totally agree. They have a left tackle. They have a running back. They have a stud wide receiver. They have arguably the best interior defensive lineman in the sport. And they have a coach who helped develop Josh Allen and has proven to be able to work with some quarterbacks. They draft Sanders. They draft Ward. I'll give you optimism. I'll tell you they're closer to a Super Bowl than the Jets are. Because that's how you win Super Bowls. Young, dynamic quarterbacks who change the team. And I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is that guy. He's win the playoff. He's end the playoff drought kind of guy, which I think is important for the Jets. But I'll tell you, optimism, they draft a quarterback 3 or trade up for quarterback 1. I'll give you optimism. They're closer to a Super Bowl than the Jets. Of course, if the quarterback's any good, which we would find out. 888-808-1019, but I think that's exactly what the Giants should do to create some optimism around here and get the ball rolling in the right direction, as we're watching the Commanders change their franchise from one draft pick, and we're watching Philadelphia and all the not. I don't even want to talk about Saquon Barkley anymore. I don't even want to talk about Saquon Barkley anymore. I'm done. But optimism. Every bad team in this league is optimistic if they draft a quarterback. Every bad team in this league is Jaden Daniels away from competing. Plain and simple. 888-808-1019. All on the table. Let's get back to the calls. Terry in Amenia. What's up, Terry?
Good morning. Before I
don't
make
get
an
a great
observation...
one. I don't get a great one. What do you not? Which take don't you like, Terry? What'd I say? I'm sorry.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
I'm sorry, great one.
Thank you.
Anyway,
mm-hmm.
Before I talk about Steve Cohen,
yes,
maybe we talk about omelets for a few seconds?
Can we talk about omelets for a few seconds? What do you think I'm here for? If not for my omelet, please, go ahead.
Do you have a copy of the cookbook called Mastering the Art of French Cooking?
Oddly enough, I almost bought it the other day, but I went with Everybody Poops instead. But
Mastering the Art of French Cooking.
Okay.
You can buy secondhand copies inexpensively on eBay.
Okay.
There is a 3-page primer on how to make omelets.
Mm-hmm.
And you will find that very interesting.
I do. Listen, I'm very interested by omelets. Someone was tweeting me about the omelet recipe I've seen on Instagram. If you are a social media person, as unfortunately we must be here, I don't know if you've seen it a million times on, there's the omelet that they kind of shake in the pan real quick, and they use chopsticks, and they kind of just fold it over until it's kind of like a water balloon type texture, and they put that over a bed of rice and slice it down the middle, and then it opens up over the bed of rice. If I've seen it once, I've seen it 1,000 times.
As Sam Goldwyn said, include me out. I'm not interested in crap like that.
it looks fairly good. Okay. But, all right, so listen, the French cooking, that's the only way to make it. I have seen, and thank you, Terry. I'm sorry, I'm going to get to some other calls here before the hour runs out. I have seen the method, and I've tried it. I don't know if this is in the French cookbook, talking omelets here at 4:17 in the morning. What's his name? The famous chef who yells at everybody. Again, 4:17 in the morning, can't think of it. What's his name, Fleegs? The British chef, Hell's Kitchen, the TV shows. Why am I not thinking of his name?
Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon Ramsay. Thank you very much. I have seen Gordon Ramsay's method of making scrambled eggs.
I think I've only ever seen parts of his show in clips during World Series commercials or back when 24 was on Fox.
Right, that's true, yeah. No, but he has the scrambled egg method of, you know, creme fraiche and on the heat, off the heat. 30 seconds on the heat, 30 seconds off the heat. Constantly whisking. 30 seconds on the heat, 30 seconds off the heat. Constantly whisking. So I've tried that, and they come out great. Yeah, but, I mean, they don't come out so good that it's worth all the pain in the butt it is to on and off the heat. Well, it's like a, you know. But omelets, listen, you want to go to, like, you want to make a kick-ass Super Bowl party? We're going to talk about all the things you eat at Super Bowl parties or whatever. Like, if you honestly, like, just flat out want to make a kick-ass Super Bowl party, you can't go wrong with an omelet station. Tell you right, I walk in anywhere and there's an omelet station. I don't care what time of day it is. I don't care what the event is. If you have someone making omelets and I could say, oh, I'll have a little onion, little ham, cheese, and you have an omelet station, that's a party. Omelets and eggs kick ass. Unfortunately, it's going to cost you $1,000 because eggs are through the roof. Tony in Montreal. What's up, Tony?
How you doing, man? I'm just laughing, listening to you on your omelets. I'm like, wow, too much. Given that I'm from Montreal, you can have all the... Yeah, I can have all the... You come up here, you can have all the French cooking you want.
Yeah, I'm sure. I've been to Montreal, and I remember the cooking. Sure, I do. Yes.
Just last time you told me, the last time you were up here, you were on some kind of event for your friend that was getting married or something.
No,
like that.
For me, I was my bachelor party. My bachelor party.
It
was
your
Montreal.
Bachelor party.
My bachelor party was in Montreal. So that's a while back now, 2015. So the summer of 15, I was in Montreal, and then I've told the story. My best friend was getting married, and we were going to go to Montreal for his birthday because we enjoyed mine so damn much. So we were going to go to Montreal for his birthday, wedding, for his bachelor party. And we were all scheduled to go, had the tickets, had the hotel. We're getting ready to go. And unfortunately, it got canceled because it was April 1st of the year 2020. And unfortunately, we weren't going anywhere. So my poor buddy Mike got his COVID, canceled his bachelor party. And we still haven't made it up to him. We got to figure out something for Mike.
You know, maybe you could make it up from to call it up a universe his anniversary and give him a party up here. But anyway, I'll just tell you, next time you come up to Montreal, you call up Timber Tony. I'll take care of you. How's that?
All right, you got it, Timber Tony.
Listen, Timber Tony tells the truth on X. That's what it is. Listen, I'm just curious. I read some stuff on Stearns, his background.
Yes.
He's more of a Billy Ball kind of guy. And he doesn't seem like he's going to give in to Alonso. I don't think that's cool because Alonso, unless you got inside information, which I don't have, isn't Alonso a well-liked player on the Mets? He's a guy that everybody would like to have in that dressing room?
And for the most part, that's what they're telling you now. There, you know, prior to last year, there was some talk of issues in the clubhouse. We know Jeff McNeil and Lindor had that incident with the raccoon or whatever it was. So we know that there was some issues between some of the players, and there was some talk of being a little bit of a fickle locker room. And there was even a couple of reports that had Alonzo being kind of in the middle of that. But yeah, I wouldn't say that's an issue. And I'm sure most of the team would love to have him back. Why not have a player who hits 40 home runs every year added to the team? So I'm sure, you know, I'm sure his guys, Nimmo, McNeil, I'm sure they're all, you know, very interested in having Pete Alonzo back.
So the point I'm making is when Stearns was the GM I think it was with the Brewers, mm-hmm. he traded one of his top pitchers. I think it was Hader. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Hader?
Yeah, the reliever.
And he finally admitted that when he traded him, mm-hmm. he didn't think that the impact of getting rid of him would have caused that type of ripple in the dressing room and destroying the team confidence. And he finally admitted to doing that. I think this is going to be a similar case because this looks like it's. What do you think of that?
I think it's slightly different. You're talking about trading a closer mid-season at the deadline, one of the best closers in baseball, while you're trying to compete for a playoff run. That's a different element of, man, what are you doing to us? Like, this, the season hasn't even started, and they signed Juan Soto. Like, it's like, yeah, the Mets might be disappointed for their friend. I don't think any Met would go, how are we going to win without Pete Alonso? What the hell are you doing to us? I think they're like, hey, Pete would make us better, and Pete's our guy. So ultimately, yeah, I'd rather have Pete here. But they just signed Juan Soto. They were in the NLCS last year. It's the start of the year. They're building a team here. They're going to go to spring training with high hopes, high expectations, and feel pretty good about things. That was trading a closer at the deadline of a year that they were in the mix competing for a playoff spot. And they took the same thing happened with Seattle too. With Seawald, I feel like they traded a closer too mid at the deadline where they were competing, and they actually ended up performing better. But it ended up in hindsight, I can't tell you the particulars of that trade or what they got back from the Hader trade. But I can tell you Hader hasn't been the same since he left. He had that half a year I believe wasn't very good with San Diego, and then he had one decent year. And then last year, he was bad in Houston after getting big money. So it wasn't a terrible trade. It was actually, you know, kind of getting ahead of the, I don't want to say the collapse, that's a bit strong, but sort of him trending in the wrong direction. But, yeah, I mean, you know, and being forced to trade him the next year because that's just the reality of Milwaukee. If he felt like he got a good deal, he did it. And yeah, I guess it could have hindered a team. But again, that's not the same situation. Trading away a closer and a top closer at that, one of the better strikeout pitchers and best closers in all of baseball, trading him in the middle of a pennant race, that's going to really disrupt the team. That's going to be like, geez, you're taking away our opportunity to make the postseason. This is not like that. This is building the team, and they just signed Juan Soto. So there's going to be a lot of optimism, a lot of excitement, even with Pete, without Pete. So I don't think this is going to break the team, even if he's liked. And I'm sure they all want him, but it's not going to be like, oh my God, this guy's an idiot. How do you not bring back Pete? They'll be disappointed. But there's going to be a lot of optimism around the Mets, a lot. And they're going to be very excited to get the year going, and they're going to see Juan Soto. So, yeah, I'm not worried about that. But there are deals like that. There are deals like that. And again, we talked about it earlier. You jumped me, Mike. I was just going to say the same thing. I talked about it earlier, Saquon Barkley. I wish the Giants disrupted the team 2 years ago and traded Saquon Barkley. I wish the whole team fell apart. I wish they decided not to show up for work on Sunday. And they lost every game down the stretch. And Saquon Barkley would be somewhere else, not in Philadelphia. The Giants would have gotten compensation for the trade. And they would have been able to draft a quarterback, whether it be Jaden Daniels or anyone else. It probably would have been Jaden Daniels. So think about that for a second, right? Forget whether or not, and I said this too. I said it yesterday, and I did a podcast today. And this isn't looking to be right, Gio. This is just a fact. I said, because there is no right or wrong. It's my opinion. I said it to me. You want to complain about Saquon Barkley if you're a Giant fan? I honestly think they should have never drafted him. You could argue they could have paid him instead of Daniel Jones. and they should have traded him 2 years ago when the season had already fell apart, and especially with Joe Shane's belief in paying running backs, and especially a running back who already turned down a contract to stay. Those three things are far more egregious to me than letting him walk in free agency. Drafting him in the first place, terrible pick, 2 overall. Sorry, it just is. The Giants weren't ready to make him as good as he could be. It was a wasted pick. It was a terrible pick. Drafting him 2nd overall was stupid. Picking Daniel Jones over him was probably stupid in hindsight, although I understood at the time why they did it. And certainly not trading him 2 years ago was stupid. Letting him go in free agency wasn't that stupid. I know he went to Philadelphia and it sucks, but do you really want do you want your GM making decisions based on whether or not he goes to the enemy? Like, would a Met fan right now feel any different if Pete Alonso signed with the Atlanta Braves? Would it be like, oh my God, you let him go to the Braves? Should you sign a bad contract? What if they sign him for way more money than the Mets are comfortable with? Is it like, should that make a difference? The Giants didn't want to sign him, and they were right to, because he's not going to help them. Look at his last year with the Giants, and then look at Tracy's numbers this year. They're almost identical. And that's not saying Barkley's the same as Tracy or Tracy's as good as Barkley. Clearly he's not, but that's what the Giants team relegated him to. I had no problem letting him go. I don't care he's in Philadelphia. It doesn't bother me as much as it bothers everybody else. I'm only bothered that I got to hear the bad jokes and puns and recognize that it's made the Giants become a joke, and that bothers me. But, like, actually sitting down on Sunday and watching him run for the Eagles doesn't bother me at all. It honestly doesn't. And I totally think drafting him, not paying him over Daniel Jones, and not trading him 2 years ago are far more egregious decisions than letting him walk in free agency.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Your official station to talk Giants. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Yeah. All right, 4:34. Here on the overnights, McMonagle here with you. I got you for another 26 minutes. Quick math. All the way to 5 o'clock. And the warm-up show, 888-808-1019. Everything on the table to finish the show. We didn't really talk too much about the Knicks. An impressive, dominant win. I mean, just took from the jump of this game, Memphis had no chance. The offense, I mean, not only the smothering defense, the points off, the turnovers, just everything about it. That was the kind of performance. The bench scored a ton of points. Achiuwa was, you know, taking it to the rim, hitting threes. McBride scoring points, just that's the kind of performance this Knicks team is capable of. That's what, to me, when Karl-Anthony Towns, again, you know, still hit that first three of the game that made you feel better about his thumb, because his three-point percentage with the, since he's got the bone chip in his thumb and then the thumb sprain has gone way down. But to me, that's the perfect game that encapsulates why we think this Knicks team can be an NBA champion, or compete for an NBA champion, or at least be closer to an NBA champion than even the teams prior that we fell in love with. And they don't defend as well, although they defended in this game. OG Anunoby OG felt so much better, and McBride played well as well. As the Bridges, thank you, losing my mind. Played much better, had a great game. Was able to shoot. When he shoots, OG Anunoby shoots, they can spread the floor with Cat, and they play perimeter defense and get steals and rebounds. I mean, now that's the total package, and that's what you saw in last night's game. But it's just that offense can be so dangerous and so explosive. And they were talking about it on the broadcast. They don't typically run the floor. They're kind of a slow, up the court, play a lot of half court offensive kind of team. But, I mean, Josh Hart's as good as anyone going coast to coast in the entire NBA. I think OG can run the floor really well. He's exhausted to me. I think he needs a break, and the All-Star break should do him fine. But, I mean, he's been, you know, what he's able to do when running the floor, they're dangerous when they run the floor. They don't do it much, but they can be dangerous. And off turnovers, they were great in this game. They were hitting their shots. Bridges had a tremendous game, both offensively and defensively. And they absolutely dominated the third seed in the West. Absolutely dominated them. That was as impressive as a win as we've seen from this Knicks team. And there are times where they don't play defense. There are times where the threes don't fall, and you're curious about where this group is and the consistency of Bridges' offensive game and OG slowing down a little bit and Cat's injury problems and all that roll into a team that you hope can play like this for four games out of a seven-game series, because I do think this version of the Knicks can beat anyone. And I know it's just a one-off. I'm not trying to make too much of it, but that's what you see with this group. Like, this offensive team can be dangerous. The way they play, if they get all these different elements and the turnovers and the defense shows up, they get turnovers. You give them offensive rebounds and turnovers. You give them second-chance points, and you give them points off the steals. They are unbeatable. If you allow the Knicks to be able to be in a position to play a fast-breaking game, they're too good in the short court. They're too good at hitting their threes. They got too many offensive weapons. Karl-Anthony Towns spreads the floor too much. And if they can get steals and offensive rebounds and get second-chance opportunities and points off of turnovers, that's when the Knicks can become extremely dangerous. And that's what you saw last night. 888-808-1019. All right, we go back to the calls, and here he is. Brett in Long Island. Brett, how are we doing?
Chris, I'm really serious. I need professional help.
I know. I'm trying to help you. Now, here's the thing, all right, before we get into it. I don't think you're ready to say I'm right, and I'm not going to force you to do that again. I just want to see some positive growth with you here. So I'm hoping we can just figure things out. If you're going to kill me on something, that's fine, but I do need you to at least acknowledge that I gave a legitimate take with Jaden Daniels, and it wasn't just out of pure desperation, hatred for the New York Giants. I'm going to need that from you at some point, but I feel like moving forward, we can find a space together where you and I can have personally reasonable phone calls, okay? So let's start there.
Chris, I had a major setback this weekend, and I wanted to share it with you.
Okay.
You know, I'm in 11 online social media groups.
I know all of 11 of them, yep.
Texting groups with friends for 20 years.
Yes.
And one of my good friends for 20 years is a diehard Bills fan. He's a lunatic, and he's been ranking on Daniel Jones for 2 years. He's wanted to call in and talk to you that, like, this isn't stick with me, that, like, he wanted to tell you what's really happening in real life. So anyway, he's been ranking on Daniel Jones because I was always supporting him. So I ranked on the Bills with Norwood and everything, and during the game, I'm ranking on him in the thing. After the game, I ranked on him and said, do you still want to fire McDermott? Because I had a receipt that he said he wanted to fire McDermott last year when they were about to be eliminated, and he said it once this year. So he calls me up after the game, flipping out, cursing, telling me all this crazy stuff. I'm coming to your house. Right? This is a true story.
Uh-huh.
So he hangs up.
You have this way with people, Brett. I do believe the story.
This is true. This just happened. But I'm gonna. So he's driving to my house. He calls me on the way. He's like, I'm dead serious. I'm coming to your house. I'm like, what am I going to do at this point? Really? I got the wife, kids. I'm going to wait outside. So all of a sudden, he calls back a third time, flipping out, screaming, I ran out of gas. I'm like, oh, okay, where are you? 2 miles away, he runs out of gas. It's in the 20s. He's in a T-shirt and shorts. I'm thinking he's setting me up, but he's my friend. I go. I'm like, he's going to fight me on the side of the road. I got to go. I go. I pick him up. I'm like, is he going to beat me up? We go. I get him a gas can, the whole thing. We're yelling, screaming. I'm like, you did this to me for 2 years. It was my chance to get you back. And that was it. So, Chris, I need help, bro. Like, I got issues. Like,
yeah.
I almost had somebody come to my house and fight me. If you didn't run out of gas, this would have been a different story,
right,
Chris, for
no,
real.
This is why last week I made the determination to try and help you, Brett, because this is unhealthy, your view of this. I don't know why you need to bring up Norwood to it. I mean, listen, can't you sympathize with a Buffalo fan?
He said that's irrelevant. I sent him memes for 13 seconds, and I guess I broke him down. He told me why he was mad is that he kept texting me during the Eagle game with Saquon memes the whole day, and I didn't answer. And the second the Bills game started, I started in, and he couldn't accept that.
Mm-hmm.
So
that you were nowhere to be found when it was...
I ignored him. I was nowhere to be found, and then...
Yeah.
Right. So, Chris, man, I don't know. I just wanted to tell you that I guess it's all coming to a head, all this stuff.
Yeah. No,
all
I'm
my
listening.
Friendships and life, and mm-hmm. It's getting crazy.
Brett, I mean this. I'm glad you're able to accept this. I'm glad you've come forward here and
but
recognize.
I won't stop. I won't stop. I wasn't wrong. He ranked on me for 2 years. He's like, tell me now that you don't think Daniel Jones is good, and I'll stop. He's like you. He's like, admit that Daniel Jones isn't good. I said, no, he could still be good. So he basically would want to fight me over this stuff. But I gotta hold my ground.
I got crap for 3 days from the morning show from insisting, asking you to tell me I was right. And it's not about whether I was right or not. I recognize you need to be able to make that move. You need to be able to look someone in the face and go, I was wrong. You were right.
But you were
Do
wrong.
Do it now.
Chris,
I wasn't wrong.
My argument was, but if you listen to me, all my argument with you was the way you were able to talk about the NFC East. It wasn't about Jaden Daniels. Dak Prescott going to the Giants. Like, yeah. That was my thing.
You made it
like,
sound.
How could you talk so happily about that? I thought I would throw up.
No, you made it sound as if I only had that opinion because of my Giant hatred. And that I wasn't giving legitimate opinions.
You sound like a Giant hater.
Well,
sound that way.
I need you to say you were right.
And
Chris,
how did Jaden Daniels look anyway?
He looked great.
How did your godly quarterback look?
He looked great. He was the only reason the game was
great.
Even. Yeah, they turned the ball over three times. They were blowing. Saquon Barkley made one spin move and they fell all over themselves. They couldn't tackle. They couldn't hold on to the ball. And yet Jaden Daniels had them close in the third quarter somehow.
And how did you root for the Eagles, by the way? Just telling me you watched that again. That's why I think you're a Giant hater.
I know.
I'll say it again. How are you watching that and saying yay? Like, I'm not saying, let me score three touchdowns.
I didn't say you wanted them to win. I didn't say
so
yay.
How do you watch it?
Because I didn't.
How do you watch it? Okay. I'm disgusted when I watch that.
I was disgusted.
I don't get you.
I don't want Washington to be that good that quickly. They were right there with us.
Who cares? Let them beat the Eagles and then lose in the Super Bowl.
No, thank you. No, thank you. Let the Eagles beat Washington and lose in the Super Bowl.
I don't know. I think the Eagles, you know what I mean? They're scary. I think they could win the Super Bowl. That's the point. Washington wasn't going to beat the Chiefs or the Bills.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm not sure. Not if they won that game. I'd rather risk the Eagles
with all their weapons, experience. They've been to two Super Bowls now recently.
Yeah, I know.
It makes no sense. You're worried about Jaden Daniels being good. Let's get out of here.
I'm worried about Jaden Daniels being good.
Who cares? The Eagles a
dynasty. Are they not going to make him a dynasty? He's a running back. He's not going to make him a dynasty.
I don't know how the season one look.
He's going to be 30 and 2 years. He's not making him a dynasty. What?
They've already been to two Super Bowls.
Who's been to two Super Bowls? He wasn't a part of it. He wasn't a part of that Super Bowl team.
I'm saying they're already good now.
They've always been good. That's my point. They were in the Super Bowl with Miles Sanders.
They were in the Super Bowl with Miles Sanders. Who cares? You're worried about NFC teams.
I'm worried about the
Eagles might be a freaking dynasty with Saquon.
Nah, I really don't think so. I'm not worried about that. I'd rather have Saquon Barkley in the division than Patrick Mahomes 2.0, which is
and
what
you're worried
I'm,
about Dan Quinn.
I'm not worried about Dan Quinn. I'm worried about the quarterback.
But they're not going to win four Super Bowls.
Neither of Philadelphia with Saquon Barkley. Don't worry
they
about it.
They were there too, Chris.
They were there before him. They'll probably be there after him.
I don't want to answer their franchise.
Yeah, but see, because this is what your problem is, Brett. You worry about everybody else because you, unfortunately, have turned yourself into this guy who everybody wants to get because you're kind of a jerk to people. And this is why I'm trying to help you. Because you have to deal. And you are too. Because I'm not a jerk to you. I'm trying to help you.
You're the same way.
You call my show, I give you my opinion.
The second I give you my opinion, you don't like it.
The second I answer the phone, you get all over me and start calling me names. What are you talking about, Brett? Come on. Me? Brett, you need like at the beginning of the phone call, I felt like you recognized it, Brett. Come on. I'm mean to you? All I did was last week, whenever it was, I wanted you just to acknowledge that I had a valid opinion. That's it. And that's what the morning show didn't get. It doesn't matter. But like I wasn't like Gia was like, I expected to be lauded. I didn't ask a single person to say I was right other than him. I didn't ask Gio to say I was right. I didn't say I was, oh, look at me, I nailed the pick. I wanted him to say I was right because I felt it was his best interest to come to that kind of term. And he specifically said, I gave the opinion because I'm a Giant hater. I wasn't out there saying, hello, world. I said the Washington Commanders could win. Laud me. But I wanted Brett to do it because I think Brett needs to. I think Brett, when he has friends driving to his house to beat him up, he has to recognize what he's become. And the idea that I'm mean to him, that's hilarious. The second I answer the phone, he's saying things, no one cares to hear this. No one wants to hear this. You know, you never shut up. You keep talking. Like there's numerous times I pick up the phone, he goes right into insults. Which is fine. Sometimes it's funny. But I do think he could use some help. And I thought there for a second I got him. You want to talk about being right. I was about to really declare being right and wanting to be lauded. I almost turned Brett around. I thought for a second I had it. I thought our last phone call was the genesis of him recognizing the errors of his ways. I was about to go into a new career.
You know, a very underrated part of that, and you got a lot going on when you're dealing with Brett, is the same guy who's saying, well, Daniel Jones can still be good. All of this, even this argument with this friend, comes back a little bit to his defense of Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
He came on here and started dumping on Jaden Daniels.
Yes, that's true. Daniel Jones is still going to be great, and Jaden Daniels was crap.
The guy who just went to the conference championship game, much more, let's compare Jaden Daniels this past Sunday to Daniel Jones in his playoff game against the Eagles.
Yeah. I mean, look, and my Washington take, I'm sorry. He's not the only one who disagrees with me. A lot of people disagree with me. I don't care. In 1 year to turn the franchise around from four wins to the Super Bowl and going on the road and beating the one seed and the two seed, that's the kind of thing great quarterbacks do. That's the kind of thing Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Manning, like those are the things special quarterbacks do. Winning games they don't belong winning. And elevating teams to win games they don't belong in. That's the last thing I wanted to see. As opposed to the Eagles who've already won, the Eagles who've kicked my ass for 20 plus years. Like, I'm used to that. I don't want to see Washington all of a sudden be better than them. Now I got to watch Washington beat them when I can't beat them for the last 25, 30 years? In any big spot since 2001, the Giants have lost to the Eagles in every big spot. 1 year, one draft pick. Washington, who's been right there with me, getting Washington, the beloved Daniel Jones, who would only beat Washington. They would have four wins a year. Two of them would be against Washington. That team is going to make one draft pick and do something that the Giants haven't been able to do since 2001 and beat the Eagles in the playoffs or a big spot. Forget that. Why do I want to see that? I have a different thought process. I'm used to the Eagles going to the Super Bowl, and they're not going to be a dynasty, and they're not going to do it with Saquon Barkley. I'm sorry. And again, I'm not trying to tell you Saquon Barkley's not great. He's unbelievable in the driving force of that team. The first run of the game, he goes 16 yards before he's touched. The other two touchdowns, he goes in untouched. The offensive line in the run scheme is a match made in heaven with him, but they're just as big because I've seen Saquon Barkley when he doesn't have the offensive line like that, and you know what? It's really good to pedestrian.
Your official station to talk Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, only a few minutes left. Let's try and squeeze as many calls as we can before the warm-up show comes your way. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Richie in Queens. What's up, Richie?
Hey, good morning, G-Mac.
Good morning, Rich.
I just trying to figure out this game for the next 2 weeks, which is really gets boring. You don't get into it till what, next Monday?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to start breaking down the game for a while.
Yeah, and I don't really want to look at the fact that I can't stand the Eagles, yep. And I know they're in my division, and I know it's going to be a long haul for us to be competitive again, there's no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about what the Giants should do, what they didn't, but, after 65, 70 years of watching of a team, the way they're playing right now, even, 3rd and 9, you wouldn't even think about it, you just run the clock out, right? No, he throws a pass. I know he makes the gets the breaks, whatever. When you're great, whether you're Jordan, absolutely, whether you're a top player, Bonds, or whoever it may be, you're going to get the calls.
I think it's tough to hate them.
It's tough to really dislike them. It's just amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's that tough to dislike them, Richie. I kind of dislike them a little bit. Not nearly as much as the Patriots just yet, and I'm not sure why. And considering the Giants beat them twice in the Super Bowl, the Patriots, I'm really not sure why. But I just got oversaturated with them, and it might happen quickly. I think Andy Reid's probably more of a lovable character, maybe. I do like his commercials. Me and my wife say great googly moogly once or twice a day. I love it. I don't know why. But I'm surprised the reaction from that game. I got to be totally honest with you. Like, that first down play, the angle the camera gave, again, you saw the one referee first. So you have a better view of him coming down the line. So you go, oh, first down. And then the second guy comes in late or later in the shot, at least. He runs up from the screen. You see him. You go, oh, no, short. Like, that happens. If you watch an NFL Sunday. Now, I know these are championship games and you don't want the ambiguity. I don't know why I struggle with that word. And you don't want that. Yeah. But if you watch the NFL, that happens. That was not an egregious call. I mean, look, it was close. Do I think he probably got the first down? I do. But that play happens 6-7 times every week in the NFL. And they couldn't overturn it. Get more than half a yard. I'm sorry, they had every opportunity. The ball that Worthy caught was called a catch. One, it was a defensive penalty anyway. They were going to get a first down. And two, that ball did not move when it hit the ground at all. That was not a loose ball. Did he have possession? Was it just glued to his body? I don't know. But is that the worst, unbelievably bad call you've ever seen? The first down call is, it went against them, but it wasn't some egregious, horrible call. It wasn't a late, like roughing the passer call that gives them a first down with 30 seconds left or anything crazy. I'm sorry. I'm surprised that the reaction was so much, oh, the Chiefs continue to get breaks. They make their own breaks. They've been to 3 consecutive Super Bowls. 5 total. You don't get there by nothing but nobody's gone out there and just beaten them. What happened the day against, what happened to the 2 games against Brady? What happened against Burrow? The referees just forgot the game plan? Like, it's so stupid, man. They win the games because they're great. Let's squeeze in Bernadette real quick. Bernadette, what's your, let's just say hello, Bernadette. Thank you for calling, as always.
You're welcome, Chris.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say that I'm so bummed out that Buffalo didn't make it. I know you are, too.
Yeah, I am. I am, Bernadette. I really was rooting for Buffalo. It would have been a lot more fun. Now I got to root for the Kansas City Chiefs, and I don't want to. But Brett, I'm not that much of a Giant hater. I'm clearly rooting for Kansas City. No doubt about that. We'll have time to talk about such things tomorrow at midnight. We got it all. 5-hour midnight ride. Until then, enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Fleas on the other side. We got the warm-up show. I saw Chris Lopresti out there. You're in for a treat. Everybody, have a great day. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. I'll see you at midnight. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM, the Fan. WFAN, New York.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow the Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.